This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Good morning. A lot of people have hiked the Long Trail, and for those who have, traversing its 273 miles, including peaks of over 4,000 feet, is a major accomplishment to be proudly talked about with friends and family once they're done. Nikki Kimball laughs at those people. Okay, that's not really true, but if you did tell Nikki Kimball you just finished hiking the Long Trail and you're really exhausted from the trek, you couldn't blame her for perhaps smiling politely and then saying, "Try running it." Nikki Kimball is an ultra runner and holds the women's world record for running the Long Trail, a journey that would take even the fittest of hikers weeks to complete. She did it in just 5 days, 7 hours, and 42 minutes. I'll let that sink in. Her passion for running the Long Trail is the subject of a new documentary called Finding Traction, and it chronicles not only what she's already accomplished in setting the women's world record, but her desire to break all existing records for running the Long Trail, which would mean completing the trek in under 4.5 days. Nikki Kimball is a Vermont native who's now living and training in Bozeman, Montana, and she joins us now by cell phone to talk about her goals. And Nikki Kimball, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, before we get into the Long Trail details, what exactly is ultra running and what got you into the sport in the first place?
Ultra running technically is racing any distance or running any distance beyond a marathon. So anything beyond 26 miles, but typically starts with 50 kilometers, which is a 31-mile race. And I've just been running all my life. In graduate school, I used running to help sort of center me and make me think a bit more clearly and all the benefits you get from running. And I just started running on trails. That just sort of progressed from marathons to 50Ks to 50 miles and kept going that way. And ever since 99, I've just loved this sport.
And what got you eyeing the Long Trail?
Now, that started when I was really young. I think I must have been 11 or 12 in the Bill Koch Ski League, and I raced at Mountaintop, which was my home ski center. And we had a meeting one night, and a rumor went around that meeting that the men's U.S. ski team ran the whole Long Trail. From that point on, I just thought about running the whole Long Trail. That's where it started.
Now, when you got the world's record, you got that in 2012. Did you build up to that? Had you run it before then and then did that time? Or was that a first time out of the gate, break the world record thing?
Yeah, that was the first time out of the gate. And I did make a lot of mistakes. And, I'd love to try it once more. I had run a bunch of the trail. I grew up in Chittenden, so a lot of the south central part of it, of the trail, and the southern part when I went to Williams College for undergraduate. So I was familiar with that part of the trail. I wasn't familiar at all with the northern part.
It's pretty amazing that you broke the record the first time out of the gate. And, it's such an accomplishment that this documentary film, Finding Traction, has been made about it. And it really kind of digs in. You see yourself kind of raw and bare during this experience. There's a moment in the film where you appear to be in a lot of distress. And I think you're saying something about just needing just to sleep for a little while. Let's hear a bit of that clip. Can you tell us what's going on there, Nikki? What was happening at that moment?
Yeah, I had just left my crew. I mean, so how this works is that you have crew meet you everywhere they can, like at road crossings, and feed you a lot of food. And I had thought at that time that, I should really take a break right here. And they encouraged me to keep going. And about, maybe a half mile later, I just couldn't see going on. We were a little bit confused about route finding, so the woman who was pacing me was looking around for where the signs were, and I just sat down on a log and just knew I would feel so much better if I could just get a little bit of sleep. And it was the only thing I could think about. I mean, I was every fiber of my being was in pain, like wanting to sleep. It was like a 3-year-old having a temper tantrum because he's been up all day or whatever. And nothing, that singularity of thought of nothing but I just need to sleep. That's really what was going through my head. And the only thing that kept me going was the fact that Jenny, my pacer, is also my ski mountaineering partner. And when you ski out west and there are avalanches, we have to be very, very careful. And our lives are literally in each other's hands watching each other ski. And I just knew that if I did stop there, we didn't have any crew left at the aid station, I knew I'd be exposing both of us to hypothermia. And I couldn't get going for my own reasons, but in order to make sure Jenny was safe, that's the only reason I could get up from that log.
But given that experience, remembering that, and I don't think it's too strong a word to say trauma of that moment, how are you motivated now to do even better? You mean, you've already got the women's world record. Why do you want to break all records?
I think, you know, largely because I know it's doable. I know I can, and I'm not getting any younger. I'll be 45 next year. So, you know, I'm getting a bit slower because of 16 years of doing this sport, just makes you a little slower. And because that was my initial goal, and twice in my life I've been top three out of men and women at a national championship, and I know that women can break some of the records that are out there that are held by men. And I also know that women are still not being paid equally in sports. And I think, you know, we have to do things in the media to show that we are worth watching. And I think breaking men's records helps that.
When are you going to go out there and try to break that man's record?
I'm hoping to do it next year around this time, August or September.
What's the hardest part about all of this? I mean, as I understand it, anyone who's hiked the long trail knows you're not just running a straight line. There's rocks to jump off of. There's things you have to climb over. I mean, there's all sorts of jagged and weird contours you got to get around.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the topography of the trail is very difficult. But anybody, you know, living and running trails in New England kind of knows that. We grow up running on really technical, rocky stuff. It's hard to train for that out here in Montana, where most of Western trails just follow the topography lines, and they aren't technical like that. They don't have rocks and roots and mud. So that's a little bit difficult. But, you know, I think the hardest thing is just getting used to not sleeping, you know, or sleeping just a couple hours a day. And it's just such a different event than I'd ever done before.
You're a physical therapist by profession. Would you ever recommend something like this for one of your patients?
You know, it's funny you say that, because in the film I'm quoted as saying, I wouldn't want my patients doing this. But having done it, it did not hurt me at all. You know, I had to eat a lot of food afterwards because I lost a bit too much weight. And, you know, and I had to be careful. But I didn't get any injuries during the event. I would be fine with one of my clients doing something like this, but I want them, like I did, to have a physician with them who could make the call, hey, you're done. Because if there is an injury that's going to get worse, you have to be able to say, okay, I'm done. I mean, I think what happens in our sport sometimes is you have to be a bit obsessive to be running ultra marathons. And there's a fine line between, you know, an injury that's actually going to get worse and just feeling a lot of pain because you're 75 miles into a run. You know, I think that, unfortunately, there are times that people make the wrong call and they keep going, and then they end up getting some serious injury. But I think that's why you have somebody somebody on course, somebody with you who can make an objective decision. So I'd be fine with any of my patients doing this if they were properly trained and they had a doctor and a physical therapist with them.
Well, Nikki Kimball, I wish you the very best of luck, and I hope that you'll contact us again, whether you make it or not. It's just an amazing thing to do, and best of luck to you.
Thank you so much.